You would in God's precious word tonight in the epistle to the Romans, Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. It is most interesting how the Lord will often give me homework in which to work on, in light of that which I am going to preach on, or in light of that which I have already preached on. And beginning with our communion series of studies, when we were studying together last Sunday night in our messages on justification and this most powerful Bible term of our eternal salvation, we were studying the marks of our justification, with a portion of those marks, you remember, showing up in a truly justified one in relationship to all of our circumstances of life, the marks of patient endurance, of godly character, and the marks of hope that show up and are reflected through our suffering, through our trials, through our circumstances as a truly justified one. But beginning with that, and then in line with our next behavior of a Christian from our Wednesday night study on the 25 behaviors of a true Christian from Romans chapter 12, but the Lord has no doubt been testing me this past week, for actually the last couple of weeks, which is actually one of the major reasons, among other things, that I opted to hold off from our Revelation final snapshot study today, and really sort of meditate on from our behavior study normally that we do on Wednesday night on this ninth behavior that's found here in verse 12 of Romans chapter 12. As look at it, it consists of our fourth triad, as verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, and now verse 12 all have what we would call a trilogy or a triad of virtues. And then in verse 16, we'll find a fifth there in that verse. But Paul, he now says, in the context of, remember, our duties that we are to perform toward the family of God, the household of faith, how we are to be, here it is, verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, with this right on the heels of that first in the triad here. And then he finishes up the triad by saying, which actually also goes together with the first two, continuing instant in prayer. As let me ask you a question, what do you do, and I've been doing plenty of it over the last couple of weeks, when you're in the midst of some sort of tribulation or some sort of difficulty or hardship? You continue instant in prayer, right? So they all actually go together in this marvelous triad of behaviors that are to be exercised by a true believer toward the family of God, in relationship to the family of God. But it's this first one that we begin bringing into focus of the lens, if you will, this morning. Rejoicing in hope. Rejoicing in hope. First off, we defined the terms. You remember the term rejoicing, kerio, and it means in its continuous participle form, continuing to be exceedingly glad, continuing to be exceedingly joyful. And how? Why? Well, because we have been placed, here's the second part, when we were saved, literally, in hope, which as a dative of cause, you remember from this morning, it means our hope, our elipis, our certain confident expectation in the author and the finisher of our faith, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, now has become the cause for my being exceedingly glad, for my being well, for my thriving in terms of confidence and assurance in the Lord for the future. So
We first off defined the terms, and then we began looking elsewhere where we find this term and exhortation from the Lord concerning this same hope in our all-sovereign Lord and Savior being used and called for by the apostle to exercise toward the family of God, like in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, used three times this phrase hope. It's used in verse 2 there of Romans 5, it's used in verse 4, and it's used in verse 5. Or we looked at Romans 8:18, and in verse 24 and 25 as well, in which we find it wonderfully used several times again in the whole context of those verses, where we discover that when we are saved, and this was exciting for me to discover, when we are regenerated in the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus and brought and placed into union with Jesus Christ, we are saved unto an attitude of a confident, a certain hope in Him. It becomes our possession. A marvelous hope that gives us cause as those who truly know and love the Lord for rejoicing, for continuously and exceedingly being joyful. And yes, even in the midst of, here it is, horrible heartaches, difficulties, hardships, which brought us in our studies after defining the terms and then after finding this term used elsewhere in Scripture with many places beyond the ones that I gave you, to thirdly, looking at one key way that we might continue applying Paul's exhortation here back in Romans 12:12 to continue amid the family of God, in fact, our duty toward the family of God, rejoicing in hope. As how can we do this? How can we find such cause for rejoicing within ourselves over our blessed hope in the midst of even the worst of the circumstances of our lives? Here's the answer, and it's quite simple. Keep learning of all His benefits and remembering them in the Word of God, as well as learning of the author of them, the finisher of our faith and who He is and what He has done. I think of what Jesus even said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29 and 30. He says, "Take my yoke," you remember this? "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your soul." And why should we do this? Of course, we learn about His yoke where? We learn it in the Word of God. But why should we do this? Why should we learn of all His benefits, remembering them from the Word of God? Because this is how our hope will be kept alive. This is how it will be rekindled. This is how it will be strengthened over and over again in the Lord. This is also why I believe Peter, he ends his epistle the way he does in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, when he says, "But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Where are you going to get that grace and knowledge from? You're going to get it from the Word of God. And then he ends with the doxology, "To Him be glory and honor forevermore. Amen." As a We see this, though, of how we are to spark this hope, how we are to rekindle this hope, how we are to strengthen this hope on a continual basis. I want you to see it right from Paul's words in Romans chapter 15. So turn over from Romans 12 here, just a few pages back, to Romans 15. Romans 15. A few pages ahead to Romans 15 and verse 4. Let me actually begin in verse 3, and I'm going to read through to verse 4 to start. But he says here, "For even Christ pleased not Himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." Verse 4. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have, I'll let you finish it, what? Hope. Might have hope. So in the context here, as Paul says what he does in verse 3, let me just go over this. He is concerned that we as Christians don't look to please ourselves. He's been talking about, in the previous chapter, giving up Christian liberties for a weaker brother. So we aren't supposed to look to please ourselves, but whatever we do, we are to look to please and to edify our brothers and our sisters in Jesus Christ first and foremost. In verse 2, he calls them neighbors, but he goes on in verse 3 to illustrate from an Old Testament messianic psalm, Psalm 69, verse 9, how Christ did this kind of thing at the cross. And how even while on the cross, he didn't look to please himself, but in fact was concerned first and foremost with the honor of his Father and pleasing his Father. And this came out as even in the midst of the cruel reproaches that were being hurled really at God the Father at the cross, as man basically shook their fist in the face of God. But Christ saw them as personal insults against himself, so concerned was he for his Father's honor. And so Paul uses that. Here it is, as an Old Testament illustration from the Scriptures about our Lord and his attitude on the cross to express what our attitude should be toward one another and a weaker brother. We should always be concerned, first and foremost, with the honor of our weaker brother and our sister in Jesus Christ before ourselves and our own interests and our own desires. Now, stay with me. Because we'll get to my point in a moment. After using that Old Testament illustration and example in verse 3 of how we are to live, given about Christ there, but Paul takes the opportunity to now remind us in verse 4 of the importance of delving into reading and learning the Scriptures. In other words, Paul is saying, don't miss this, Christian. The Old Testament was written for our learning, just like we've just seen through the example of Christ on the cross. Now, while we understand that it all may not have been written to us directly, it, however, contains valuable lessons for us, doesn't it? And if the truth be known, there is much in the Old Testament, even though not written to us directly, which we are recipients of, and there is much in the New Testament as far as promises and examples and such that we are directly given, and it's all essentially for our learning, isn't it? Why? I mean, what good does it do for us as we learn it? Well, as we can encounter the problems of this life or in this life and the conflicts in this life and the tribulations and the troubles in this life, and we then look to the Scriptures, we look to God's Word, and we learn them, we are given three things here in verse 4. What are they? They're in the middle and the end of verse 4. As we learn the Scriptures and we keep in the Word of God, we are given, first of all, number one, patience. The word for patience here is the word hupomeno, which is a compound Greek word. Hupo meaning under, and mene, which actually means to remain. It's a familiar term. We've used it often. I've talked about it often. Together, it means to remain under something or someone. And you see, as we learn and as we apply the Scriptures to our lives, we learn in the midst of trials and tribulations and conflicts to remain under the circumstances and to stand strong under the weight of them by the grace of God and by the strength of God showed to us by the Word of God, and thus building our trust in God. So the Scriptures bolster our patience. They bolster our endurance. For the Lord, unto a greater trust and a greater dependency on Him. Secondly, as we learn the Scriptures and we keep the Word of God, keep in the Word of God, we are given, look at it, secondly, comfort. comfort of the Scriptures or by the Scriptures. The word for comfort here is another compound Greek word, paraklesis, where para, it actually means alongside of something. And klesis, coming from the root kaleo, it actually means to call. And together, it means to call alongside of something or to come alongside of something. And it has the idea of someone coming alongside of you in a race or in a marathon, if I could just illustrate it, and you're on that grueling final mile, feeling the torture of it, every sinew that's being stretched, and your friend comes beside you and he says, keep it up, you can do it, keep going, here, I'll help you, I'll even give you a hand. And they not only verbally encourage you to finish the race, but they even physically, they get up under your shoulder and they bear you along with them. That's comfort. That's help. That's encouragement. And this is what the Scriptures do for us. Isn't it? They get up under us and they bolster us along. And of course, the Scriptures in conjunction with the work of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Now, the third thing is the climax to our study here, and it's the point that I told you to hang on for. Because Paul goes on to say, the end of the verse, that not only does the learning of the Scriptures give us patience and then comfort, but look at the end and the culminating results of it all. It's by learning the Word of God that we are given hope, alipis. As we take the Word of God and we learn it and we apply it to our lives and we take its promises at face value and we find strength to bear up under the load of life and find great encouragement through them, but we, in the end, we are given, by the Spirit of God, hope. We are given confidence in God. A hope that doesn't disappoint. You remember from this morning? A hope that doesn't disappoint, but a hope that we can absolutely rejoice in and we can find real gladness, exceeding gladness in. So the Word of God and learning it, reading it, meditating upon it, and seeing all God's divine attributes and His benefits and promises and who Christ is and what Christ has done, the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and all of that that is encompassing the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is in the person of Jesus Christ, who is the foundation, and all the examples of life and godliness that we find herein that God gives us, but it gives to us great hope. A hope that we can rejoice in both now and in the days ahead, no matter, here it is, no matter what comes our way, no matter the difficulties that we are going through. In case we think that this is the only passage where God tells us that His Word is cause or strengthening for our hope and a key to this hope we've talked about tonight, in which we are to find our rejoicing in, always, constantly. You remember Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. How can we do that? We can do it by continuing to look in the Word of God. But let me close by giving to you a few other passages. I want you to turn with me to the Old Testament Psalm, Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And I want to begin, and we're just going to randomly pick some of these out in the word hope that's used, but in verse 49, Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 49. Notice what he says. Remember the word unto thy servant. Remember it. Take it in mind, Zakar, upon which thou hast caused me, Here it is. To what? Hope. You've caused me to hope. How? By my word. Look at verse 74. Jump over to verse 74. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in what? Thy word. I have hoped in thy word. I found my hope in thy word. Verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Verse 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. 116. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. How am I not going to be ashamed of my hope? By being upheld by thy word. And then jump over to Psalm 130. Psalm 130, which isn't far from here, and verse 5. I wait, and that word wait is often another synonym of hope. I hope for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. There it is again. And then back to the New Testament, go to Romans 4, verse 18. Romans 4 and verse 18. The Apostle Paul is saying, I love the book of Romans. I'm so glad that we're looking to get into it. But in chapter 4, verse 18, he says, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many, he's talking about Abraham here, many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So Abraham is the key here, he's the subject matter who hoped. He hoped, and here it was in the verbal word of God, which he has given us, the written word of God. Moses did, as he wrote down what Abraham had hoped in. And then Colossians 1:5. Colossians, one more. Colossians 1:5. Notice this encouragement from the Scriptures. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in what? In the word of the truth of the gospel. Where do we find the word of the truth of the gospel? In the word of God, in the Holy Scriptures. So, founded on that supernatural faith in the gospel, we have a hope, we have an expectancy, we have a longing laid up for us in heaven. And it comes to us through the word of God. So let me wrap this all up. May we apply what we have heard to our own hearts tonight. Has your hope been waning? Or have you lost your joy? Have you been plagued by the things around you or about you, and the gladness has gone from you? Has your countenance for the things of the Lord fallen? You can once again rejoice in hope and keep on rejoicing as we are told to do here in Romans 12:12. And one of the key ways of doing this is by getting into the Word of God, keeping in the Word of God on a regular basis, systematic, steady basis. You see, without this, it's going to be difficult, if not near impossible, to rejoice in hope, to rejoice in the unseen that are in store for us as the children of God and what is yet to be. Why? Because we forget so easily.
we forget so easily. So let's take to heart that one key truth that we are to uphold tonight as we walk with the Lord and as we seek, as Paul says in Romans 12:12, to rejoice in hope. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege it is to study it. We are amazed at how much instruction is given to us. Lord, you want us to be successful. You want us to be strong in you. You want us to be glorifying you. And Lord, we thank you for instructing us and giving us this. We ask that we would continue to apply ourselves to the Word of God, the Word of truth, that we may spark that hope, we may rekindle it, we may re-aliven it, we may strengthen it so that we might bring greater glory to the cause of Jesus Christ, that even when we are going through difficult situations and times, we can walk with exceeding joy in the Lord because we have this strengthened, blessed hope within. Just help your people, Lord. Help them to grow in this hope as they apply themselves to the Word of God in learning and growing in you and learning more about you and what you have done and who you are. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.